My name's Geraint Tarling. I work at the British Antarctic Survey. I'm part of the UCOA consortium looking at the potential impacts of ocean acidification at the sea surface in particular. The interest that I have is mostly in the mesozooplankton, the zooplankton that live towards the surface of the ocean. And we are looking mostly in polar environments, being at the British Antarctic Survey. Our focus has mostly been around areas that are impacted by krill. But we are interested in other zooplankton as well, in particular copepods and also pteropods. A pteropod is a small marine snail. Their other name is sea butterfly, and these are small, beautiful creatures, probably about the size of your thumbnail once they get to an adult size. And the way they move around is by using their adapted feet. So the feet that a snail would have, they've made into wings, and they flap around in the ocean. They can move quite fast, but what they do is they use their wings to move, and then they produce large mucus webs in order to feed. So these webs intercept mostly floating particles or sinking particles, which they then pull in, and they use those in order to sustain themselves. Pteropods actually are quite patchily distributed. It means that they're not universally everywhere where you would put a net in the ocean. But what they do have is a feature where they tend to aggregate into very large, dense swarms. So when you catch pteropods, they come up in thousands, if not millions, in your net. And so where they do occur in these large, dense patches, they completely dominate the food web and the ecosystem within which they are actually aggregating. Our work on pteropods started about 4 years ago, where a colleague and I looked at animals that we took out of the ocean and we incubated on board. And we manipulated the levels of ocean acidification in bottles and looked at how their shells responded to these levels of ocean acidification. Now, pteropods are quite unique in the zooplankton community because their shells are made out of a type of calcium carbonate called aragonite. It actually is very vulnerable to levels of ocean acidification. Now, our experiments were trying to look at how these shells were responding when we manipulated the levels of ocean acidification. And we found that there were responses, especially when you were looking at levels being manipulated to what we would expect to see at a year 2100. So to actually compare what we saw in the manipulation experiments to what we saw in the ocean, we needed the controls. So we went back to animals that we took straight out of the ocean, we preserved, and then we analyzed them later. Most of those animals look pristine. Their shells were beautifully coiled. But in some of those animals, we actually found that there was dissolution in those shells as well, which got us to actually look at what the environment was like from where they were extracted. Over most of the Southern Ocean, there was an oversaturation of aragonite. That means that the animals are not struggling to get that aragonite calcium carbonate into their shells. But we found in one particular site there was an undersaturation. There wasn't enough aragonite in the surface, and so the animals started to corrode and their shells were damaged when we looked at them. Now, this could be done through a number of ways. Actually, in many parts of the ocean, there might be upwelling of deep water that is undersaturated in aragonite. And in this particular site we were looking at, there was, in fact, some upwelling of this undersaturated water. But actually, when we worked it out, we found that this upwelling wasn't quite enough to produce the undersaturation levels that was observed. And in fact, it only worked out once we included the levels of anthropogenic CO2 dissolving into the surface of the ocean, which combined with the upwelling water reduced it to that level of undersaturation that was required to dissolve the pteropod shells. So in the Southern Ocean, in this particular site, we actually found what we think is the first example of anthropogenic carbon dioxide lowering levels of saturation of aragonite that affects these biological organisms. And so we can see directly that anthropogenic CO2 is impacting the Southern Ocean community. Now, pteropods are not just a bit part player within the zooplankton community. They are an important part of many food webs. They are the prey of a number of seabirds and whales and fish. And if their future existence becomes under a threat as a result of ocean acidification, then that could have wide-ranging impacts on a number of food webs in polar regions, both the Antarctic and in the Arctic, and in other regions as well. We think that further research into pteropods is going to be pretty important, not just for their own sake, but also because they are a bellwether of future ocean acidification impacts. These are probably going to be the first organisms to respond to future anthropogenic CO2 levels increasing. And so looking at where we are going to see impacts on pteropods is a good way of actually estimating how widespread our impacts on the surface oceans are as a result of ocean acidification.